Marketing Online Live number 72, The Paradox of Syndication.
Welcome to MarketingOnlineLive.com.
Marketing Online Live.
The Internet's first podcast about online marketing with your hosts, Paul Colligan and Alex Mondosian.
Hey everybody, it is Paul Colligan and this is Marketing Online Live, the Internet's first podcast about online marketing. I've got Alex Mondosian with me today, and we are going to introduce in today's episode something that is going to take us into a number of episodes. It's a concept that, believe it or not, Alex came up with. And those of you who know Alex and his claim of technophobia and his claim of the inability to FTP a website but to make money from it, he has a concept that I'm really excited about because I think it is, in short, the summation of what excites me so much about Web 2.0, what excites me so much about podcasting and where things are going. And if this concept, if you grasp this concept, and if you take this concept, if you embrace this, you will see revenue and you will see mastery from the Web 2.0 space. So with that said and done, I want to actually give this over to Alex to start this one because it's that good. So Alex, are you there?
Well, yes, I'm here, Paul, and really, the idea came from a creative, innovative adaption to what I saw during your presentation, during the Uber syndication presentation you gave at the Podcast Secrets reunion. I have since had that taught to me twice, once by you and once by Dolan, my affiliate manager, because I wanted to learn the concept of syndication from your point of view a lot more in depth than what I observed that day, because, you know, when I'm presenting, my focus is on my presentation. It's not 100% on the presenter if someone else is presenting. And so I feel like I got as much nectar extracted from the fruit of your presentation. And I'd say 3 weeks later, I was at a get-together with 100 other internet marketers in what was called the Green Room in Chicago that one of our mutual colleagues and friends, Evan Pagan, put together. And this idea just dawned on me, and I think it has legs. I'm not sure if it does. I think it's Web 3.1, though. I don't know if it's 2.0 or not. And it has to do with syndication, and it's about the paradox of syndication. Now, this idea originally came from you, Paul Colligan, so I want to make that very clear. That's where I got the germ of the seed of the idea. And then I don't think I plussed it. I just added my 2 cents of marketing, and I think it has value. What I want is feedback from all the MOL, Marketing Online Live listeners, because this is a three-part podcast. We have no idea what parts two and part three are going to be. That's up to you based on the questions that you give back to us, and we will answer them to the best of our ability. This is a study group, and I think this is as big of an idea as the preloaded LearnPod or portable media players we've talked about in the past, or almost as big of an idea as monetizing podcasts. What a concept that is, right? The paradox of syndication reads as follows, and I am going to reserve the right of changing this definition as I learn more, because as John Maynard Keynes once said, who was an economist, he said, you know, as I get more information, sir, I'm allowed to change my mind. And so that's the same position I'm going to take. As I get more information, Ms. or sir, to make it more politically correct, I am allowed to change my mind. But here's the definition, the way I look at the paradox of syndication. The greater the percentage of your content that is consumed on your own blog or website, the less relevant you are to the World Wide Web. Let me repeat. The greater percentage of your content that your readers or listeners or viewers consume on your own blog or website, the less relevant you are to the World Wide Web. Relevance can usually be judged by what Google describes as relevance. Now, there are many paradoxes. There's the paradox of choice. There's a book out called The Paradox of Choice by Barry Schwartz. He says that choice has made us not freer, but more paralyzed, not happier, but more dissatisfied. Because I'm paraphrasing here, the more choices we have, the less likely it is that we'll make the right decision. Because there's too many choices. That's the paradox of choice. We thought it would free us, but it doesn't. It paralyzes us. The paradox of distribution is one I knew very well in retail. And in retail, and this is a manufacturer's rep would know this intimately, you can't prove that something can sell in the market unless you have sold it to the market, right? You can't prove that something sells until you've sold it. Well, how are you going to sell it until you've sold it? Well, that's the paradox of distribution, specifically retail distribution. Now, if you go to Wikipedia, you will see a complete list of paradoxes. In fact, just look up paradox of on Google, and you'll see on Wikipedia logical and non-mathematical paradoxes, the paradox of entailment, the paradox of the raven paradox, the horse paradox, the unexpected hanging paradox, the drinker paradox, Carol's paradox, the lottery paradox. That's a good one, right? The higher the return of the lottery, the more people actually engage, but the less likely it is they are to win, right? To believe that every individual lottery ticket has an equal chance when there are more people involved in that lottery is crazy, but that's a paradox. More people get involved in that lottery when the stakes get higher and higher because they think they're going to win. So they'd much prefer to win 100 million than 10 million, yet the mathematical percentages are in your favor if you're going to win less money because there are less people involved. Then there's self-referential paradox. There's mathematical paradox, statistical paradox, probability paradox, all kinds of paradox, geometry and topology. The point of this is the paradox of syndication is one of reach and one of, I would consider, syndication, which is minimizing your risk and maximizing your reach. So what that means to me is if your web content is read on other people's sites, you have more relevance on the web because you're not just on your website, you're on other people's sites, you're on other people's blogs. And this dawned on me the moment when Paul said so eloquently, and I think almost innocently, that 40% of his content is read on his own blog, paulcolligan.com. That's what he said. 40% of his content is read on his own blog. Well, that dawned on me that, wow, 60% must be read elsewhere. How? How is 60% of his content on his blog or whatever other website he has, how is it read on other sources, through other RSS feeds, through other websites? How is that done? Well, the answer is syndication. Syndication is what makes all this possible. Syndication is what made ABC possible, CBS possible, NBC possible, the Fox networks possible, and it is what you are right now, the possibility of being the media. You are the media. You are not the message. You are the media. That's what I firmly believe. So given that, and I don't know how innovative this may sound to you or how blasphemous this may sound, but for the social media marketers out there, I think this is going to sound passé, but this is profound because if I have a teleseminar and I webcast it through Instant Telewebcast, then if 20% of the listeners are on my blog or on my website and 80% are on other people's blogs, then I have a syndicate. I have a syndicated network of internet radio or a telewebcast network that makes me more powerful, because who the heck would send traffic to me when they could be hearing someone else on their own website, whether it's Donald Trump or the Dalai Lama or someone very famous, Tony Robbins, you name it. I mean, I've had very famous interviews, but why would they come to my site when they could come to their own blog and invite people back to their own blog? That is the power of syndication, and that is the paradox of syndication. So, Paul, I'll throw it out to you. What do you think, and how valid do you think this idea is?
Well, I think it's extremely valid, obviously, with the introduction I gave. But now that you've stated it, let's kind of put our arms around it and try to bring it in. You know, we know that RSS allows us to do this. Okay, but sometimes you can look at internet technologies and you can say, you know, well, this is a, you know, a solution looking for a problem kind of thing. You know, do we want our content on other people's websites? Well, let's leave the internet completely and totally. Let's go back to high school. Okay? If I tell another friend that what I'm wearing is cool, the friend might agree, the friend might not agree, but it stops there. If somebody across the room says, hey, look at what Paul's wearing, it's cool, that's an entirely different conversation. Now, if three doors down in a completely different classroom, somebody else says, do you see what Paul's wearing? Can you believe how cool that is? That's even more impactful. And of course, 3 days later in the lunchroom, if somebody says, did you see what Paul was wearing on Monday? That's another conversation altogether. So, you know, take technology out of it completely and totally. I don't know why I went back to high school, but I guess I just did. When somebody else in some other instance, in some other location, validates your content and your concept, that's an amazing thing. I mean, who doesn't want to be quoted in the Wall Street Journal?
Well, that's the thing also. The New York Times is the de facto standard newspaper, and when something is covered there, it shows up in other papers, and it's syndicated.
Yep. And whenever anybody is quoted in the New York Times, they leverage that in all of their material. As seen in the New York Times, when we had the whole iUle.tv project listed in the New York Times, we made very few sales from that. But the fact of the matter was, the iUle project was listed in the New York Times. We leveraged the heck
out of that. What is AP and UPI other than a syndicate
exactly.
network? So all we're doing is we are mirroring what's already out there, but now it's not taking mega millions to do it. It's taking a little bit of perspiration and a little bit of insight and a lot of work, obviously. Probably a lot of perspiration,
though,
but it's not taking a whole lot of money, Paul.
Well, it's not that whole lot of money and the whole lot of work, and that's what the whole Uber syndication concept is about. You know, today I uncovered a new tracking system for tracking, you're going to love this, Alex, for tracking inbound links across an Uber syndicated project. So I listed an affiliate link today about 10 o'clock in the morning this morning across all the different sites that I update, Twitter and Facebook and MySpace and whatnot. And I was looking at the inbound links. I was looking what was happening, and a link came. A click to this affiliate program that's going to pay pretty well. A click came from LinkedIn.com. I don't even remember when I signed up for LinkedIn.com, okay? I mean, that was one of the very first websites. I even really forgot that the thing was there. I didn't even say LinkedIn.com. But because my content was syndicated to LinkedIn.com, which is, you know, I mean, the professional business people who use it, they see that as a valid, viable, real source. And so somebody saw my link, what I was talking about, in LinkedIn.com and clicked on it. This is a person, now I don't know who it was, you know, the tracking doesn't go that deep, but this is the power of what we have in front of us. And I've always been frustrated because internet marketers seem to embrace the blog as, you know, really a web one, you know, they post something and then the most excitement they get is by telling people to come out and read that content. And maybe comment on that content. That's only a tiny, tiny part of the story. Really what they want, I mean, deep down, is they want somebody else on some other website saying, oh my goodness, did you see what this guy said? Did you see what this gal wrote? What do you think about this, you know, podcast's concept? Well, RSS, that engine is built in. The second you write a blog post, the capacity to be syndicated is there. The problem is the capacity is not embraced. The capacity is not utilized. The capacity is not, you know, exploited to its fullest. And the thing is, just like in that high school example, if they're talking about somebody's outfit a couple of days later, so much more powerful. If my content is on somebody else's website, so much more powerful. If a teleseminar, yes, you know, Alex will have AlexTalksToX.com, but we expect that from Alex. It's when that content is on X's website, or maybe that content is on a third-party website. You know, if thousands of people were all to host a listing party at their own domain, that's where this stuff becomes incredibly powerful. Everybody expects you to say you're cool. It's when somebody else says that you're cool. That's when it gets powerful. And syndication is the engine that makes all that very, very viable. So what would I rather have? 100 people visiting paulcolligan.com or one website talking about paulcolligan.com? Obviously, one website talking about paulcolligan.com. I mean, that's obvious. We know that. We know the power of that. But we've never phrased it, never wrapped around it. So that's the paradox syndication. The more your content is at your site on your terms, the less impactful and powerful
it is. And the less relevant you are, because
yes,
if you are not all over the web, then you are not getting results on Google. I mean, the easiest way to get more results is to be listed on more websites. I mean, that's yep. a very common – I even know that, right? So more relevance means more connected. More connected means more websites, and more websites means more syndication. And syndication means that your content is meaningful enough and relevant enough to the person who's syndicating it, because it's the ideal joint venture where both parties feel they got the better end of the deal. And so I feel at this point that the future of the internet is not a matter of 2.0, 3.0, 3.1, or whatever point. What's important is to do what it takes to get syndicated and to create networks. Isn't that what the web is anyway? To create networks. That's what Google is. It is a network. Yeah, it's a search engine, but it is networked. And is a PR10 page rank, not only because it created the ranking system, but because it is networked with more sites because it's a search engine. So syndication, to me, is a network, and it should be to you as well, for content delivery. If your message matches the market, then you become the media. You are not the message. You are the media and the message combined. You are two-thirds of that three-part continuum of message, media, and market. And what I want to hear is from you, your thoughts, your criticisms, your pet peeves, your agreements, because parts two and three of this presentation of The Paradox of Syndication is going to be up to you, because we're going to syndicate this show two-thirds. Okay, we're delivering this message to you, but we want you to be the other two-thirds. We want you to come back to us with parts two and three with questions and remarks about what we've just talked about. And hopefully we've said enough, unless, Paul, you want to continue with this, because I think there's more to talk about.
Well, there's definitely more to talk about, and we definitely need to hit this over additional episodes. And we need people to head out to marketingonlinelive.com. What you're listening to is episode number 72. We're going to carry this into episode number 73. We're going to carry this into episode number 74. But if you want to make comments on this, go ahead and make comments at Twitter. We'll find them. You know, if you want to write, if you want to put your comment on your blog, fine. Absolutely thrilled. If you want to leave it in our comments section, do that. We'll have an RSS feed for the comments as well. But consider putting it at your place, on your terms. If you want to leave us a message online, go ahead and do that. You can email us, talk@marketingonlinelive. You can even call in a voicemail message if you want it, 206-339-2954. But the fact of the matter is, this is going to be a dialogue, and this paradox of syndication, I think, is going to catch on. I think you're going to see this term in Twitter, in the search engines, on other people's blogs, and the content will explode. I mean, it's sort of the, you know, it's the Web 2.0 concept of what, you know, Seth was talking about with the whole idea virus thing.
Well, the idea here also is that when tools get together with social media and other sources, just like Traffic Geyser has been doing. Mike Koenigs and I did a phone consultation today, which I'm repurposing into a bonus. So when I launch Traffic Geyser in the first quarter of 2009, for the first time, that'll be a nice little bonus gift to give away. And he was just consulting me, and the fly in the wall or reality call type of audio that's going to be given away, I think, is highly valuable. But what's most important is they have access to it, and they can syndicate that all they want to their own sources. And Traffic Guys are just giving the content, the video content, to the video sites is nowhere near as powerful as multiplying it across blogs and article directories and social media sites and other social marketing venues that add more oomph and accelerate the virility of the process. And so when ezinearticles.com, where I have over 100 articles, and Twitter get together, all of a sudden we get more traffic. Just out of nowhere, we get more traffic. And I have no idea what's happening at Twitter or Ezine Articles because I have that done for me. But what's amazing is I get more traffic as a result of those two entities collaborating. So relevance is about having more reach and having more pixels on more sites. And that is what the internet, I believe, has to do with relevance. The more relevant you are, the more reach you have, the more traffic you will get. Just by default, people just may squander or just land on a web page that's relevant to you and click, and boom, they're over to your site, and you bring them home, as you said, and they may or may not opt in, but they're seeing you. They're getting eyeballs. What's critical is self-serving benevolence. If I have an interview with someone famous, let's say Richard Branson, who I'm going to meet on the 23rd of October in Los Angeles. If I have an interview with him and I have a network of 100 blogs, and we call it the Access to Billionaire Show, and I have it once a month, in which I give a audio billboard with the face of the person who has the blog, a question mark there so that he or she can put his or her face there, and the thought leader's face, and then the interviewer's face, mine. Okay, that on that blog is going to get some traction because Richard Branson, not Alex, but Richard Branson will get some attention. And now that person or that blogger is driving traffic to the blog and possibly getting more traffic and getting more relevance on the internet, and through PR, maybe paying for PR through some of the PR directories, simply by having a keynote that is going to raise their status and credibility. I can make that happen better on other people's websites and blogs than I can on my own. So why be a lone star? Why have a stadium built in the middle of the Sahara Desert? Why not have multiple stadiums built? Why be the Bugsy Siegel and have only the Flamingo built when you can have Las Vegas it is today? Multiple casinos. That's the same thing with having so many different websites syndicating your content. The content has to be meaningful, it has to be relevant, and it has to be status-driven enough for people to invite their own constituency, their own followers, to that site for the interview, even if they are not being the interviewer. And if you want to even get more, I think, creative and interesting, with some of the top blogs, you can do little mini interviews where there would be an introduction between the interviewer and the blogger, and that would be a pre-interview to the interview, kind of like the Academy Awards. I think this is the future of the internet. I firmly believe that syndication is going to make life so much easier, and once it catches on, it's going to be kind of like what's going to happen to the Kindle and what has happened to the Motorola Razr and definitely the iPod. It's going to take off, and I'm looking forward to it happening because in and of itself, it feeds itself, and that's what syndication is. It's all about mass volume, and it has less to do with you than it does with others. That is the paradox of syndication. The higher percentage of content read on your website or blog, the less relevant you are to the rest of the web. That's what I have to say, and that's the story I'm sticking to today.
So this is MOL number 72, Marketing Online Live. Episode number 72. For episode number 73 and 74, we're going to chat about this concept based on your comments, your tweets, your blog posts, your MP3 responses. We're going to extend the conversation out. If you like the idea of the paradox of syndication, go ahead and mention that. Talk about that. Tell us what you think it means. The idea is in its infancy. And if you help us in this dialogue, you can be the start, have played your part in something that I think is going to be very, very, very big. Thank you so much, everybody. We look forward to hearing your comments. Bye.
You've been listening to MarketingOnlineLive.com.
Marketing Online Live.
With your hosts, Paul Colligan and Alex Mondosian. If you're a subscriber of this show, the next episode is coming soon. If you haven't yet subscribed and would like to have our show delivered directly to you, search for Marketing Online Live at iTunes or visit www.marketingonlinelive.com.